is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, go to nature.com/nature/podcast.
Last weekend, I went to a barbecue in my friend's garden. And of course, being the UK, it was a bit drizzly, but we barbecued anyway. We were kept company by a couple of bumblebees that were loving the lavender plants and spent a good chunk of time bumbling around the purple flowers looking for nectar. But bumblebees' clumsy quest around flowers actually makes this type of bee super important, as Harry Civiter from Royal Holloway University of London explains.
Bumblebee is absolutely vital for pollination services, for agricultural crops and for wildflower pollination as well. We know that bumblebees are absolutely fantastic pollinators, and this is basically because they're so big and such clumsy pollinators. They're much more effective pollinators than other species of bee, and they're really, really important for things like tomatoes, strawberry pollination, raspberry pollination, and they're very, very important to our economy and obviously for conservation as well.
But in spite of their importance for the world around us, bumblebees are having a pretty rough time of it, with numbers of certain species in decline.
The environment that a bumblebee finds itself in now is very different to one that it would have found 50 to 100 years ago. Intensification of agriculture means that there's less food around. There's been an increase in diseases and parasites due to moving of bumblebees around the world. And of course, there's the emergence of insecticides. Some of them have now been shown to have negative impacts on important pollinators such as bumblebees.
Many bumblebee species are social, living in nests with a life cycle that revolves around a queen. To protect this life cycle, and those of other bees, the European Union voted to ban the outdoor use of three insecticides earlier this year. These all belong to a particular class called the neonicotinoids, which are still in use in many parts of the world. In a Nature paper this week, Harry and his colleagues have been looking at the potential effects on bumblebees of a new group of insecticides called the sulfoxamines. These have been suggested as an alternative to the neonicotinoids and have been licensed for use in several countries. The team looked at one particular sulfoxamine insecticide called sulfoxaflor. Products containing sulfoxaflor have been approved for use in several European countries, and more approvals are on the cards. The team were interested in the effect that low concentrations of sulfoxaflor had on the bumblebee species Bombus terrestris. To find that out, they first had to set up some colonies in the lab.
So what we did was we collected queen bumblebees from Windsor Great Park. We took them back to the lab and we encouraged them to rear colonies. Once the colonies were going strong, we exposed half of them to a sucrose solution, which had a very, very small concentration of sulfoxaflor in it.
After 2 weeks of feeding the bumblebees, the colonies were taken outside to the campus ground and left to forage on their own. Harry kept an eye on them.
I would go out at night time in a bee suit. I would open the lid to these colonies and have a look at them and see how they were getting on. I would record a work number, reproductive output, so the number of males and queens that they were producing, and also look at the food stores in the nest.
Early on in the colony's life cycle, Harry found that sulfoxaflor exposed colonies produce fewer worker bumblebees than the controls. And other differences became apparent as the colonies developed.
Colonies that had been exposed to sulfoxaflor at the start of their life cycle were producing fewer males and fewer queens. So if a colony doesn't produce males and queens, it has no reproductive output, has no fitness, it has no bees going into the next generation. So we found under our regime of sulfoxaflor exposure reduced the reproductive output of bumblebee colonies.
The team showed a 54% reduction in the reproductive output of the sulfoxaflor-treated colonies, meaning that fewer reproductive offspring were present. The production of males and queens is something that happens late in a bumblebee colony's life cycle, and Harry hypothesises that the effects on the workers early on might be having a knock-on effect later. Of course, this is a first study that looks into the effect that this insecticide has on bumblebees, and it uses particular conditions. That said, Nigel Rain from the University of Guelph, who is the author on a News and Views article that accompanies this research, thinks that the way the study was set up, with both a laboratory and an outdoor section, means it can offer some useful insights.
Another really nice feature of this experiment is that the authors have chosen to use colonies that have been raised from wild-caught queens in the local environments. And obviously they're addressing a question with a class of insecticide for which we have very little toxicological information, certainly at this kind of level.
Nigel suggested that important next steps need to be taken. These include working out the mechanisms of the effects on bumblebees, whether the results are mirrored in agricultural environments, and what the effects are on different bee species. He says that given all the work to understand the effects of neonicotinoids, there is a need to unpick the potential impact of any insecticides that might replace them.
We need to be sure when we're talking about the relative risk of pesticides that we are also doing our due diligence to look at similar sorts of sublethal effects from other classes of pesticide, be they existing classes of pesticide or emerging classes like these sulfloxamines, which may be likely to be used in much more widely in agriculture as a result of other policy restrictions. So simply replacing one class of pesticide with another class of pesticide without fully understanding the risk to the pollinators would be a misstep, in my opinion.
That was Nigel Rain from the University of Guelph in Canada. Before him, you heard from Harry Civiter from Royal Holloway, University of London, here in the UK. You can read Harry's paper and Nigel's news and views over at nature.com/nature.